Okay, then how do we get into the McFarland Mansion?
Well, so my dad was always looking for a home that would have authentic backgrounds to work with. And so he'd already looked at a couple during the years. He was very successful in photography. As I say, Dad was a great photographer. Tulsa was his home. He loved it, and the Tulsans loved him. One day, in early 69, a young lady was having her bridal portrait made in her home. My dad had been there before to take pictures, and at parties. It's a beautiful home at 1610 South Carson, the McFarland Mansion, as it is called. It's actually, by John Brooks Walton, is called the McCormick McFarland Mansion because the McCormicks were in there longer than anybody else ever. The Chapmans were the first to live there after the McFarlands. That was Mrs. Chapman's parents. And anyway, my dad was up there taking pictures of Christy Seeger, and her bridal portrait. She lived there. And at the end of that session, Mrs. Seeger said to my dad, "Well, we're getting ready to move. I'm going to move into the 2300. I'm going to put this on the market." And he said, "Well, Mrs. Seeger, let me go down and get my wife." And he did, and came back up the hill from 1722 South Boston to 1610 South Carson. They heard the price, they shook hands, and that was that. And in April of 1969, my parents had obtained the great McFarland Mansion, and when I came home from school, I was very impressed, but I was still thinking about being a dentist. 2 years later, when I was having to wait around for dental school, I started working for them in that house, and it was a beautiful home to work in. And it was a great time to spend most of my adult life there. We were there for almost 40 years.
You lived there?
No. No one lived there until about 1979, and my parents moved from their house out here, and they were going to start traveling a little bit. I was helping to run the business by then, and they were going to do some traveling. They had a little condominium over in Hot Springs Village. They loved Arkansas and the races, and so they moved into the second floor and were going to travel. It'd be kind of like their lock and leave in a way place. And shortly after they moved in, she was discovered to have breast cancer. So they only lived there for about a year and a half before she died. And then I moved in there when I graduated from college in 1972 and lived on the top floor, which was just wonderful, and actually lived there for 8 years on the top floor of the old McFarland Mansion.
So it was your place of business and your place of residence.
It would kind of just the same place that we had started in a way.
Tell our listeners who the McFarlands were.
Well, Mr. McFarland was a great, great rancher, cowboy who became fabulously wealthy oilman. Mr. McFarland and his wife, of course, very giving, would through their lives established the McFarland Library. There's a McFarland Methodist Church in Norman, which also tells a lot about the McFarlands, because in their travels they had stopped in Norman, and Mrs. McFarland had a baby boy who was not well, and the Methodist women in Norman, Oklahoma had been so giving and loving to Mrs. McFarland and that baby, and it did die, that Mr. McFarland would remember those Methodist women in Norman and built a beautiful stone structure that is still there today in Norman, the McFarland Methodist Church. John Brooks Walton, getting back to that.
The architect
kept wanting to include that home in his books. And my dad kept saying no. And the reason, my dad finally told me one day at lunch why he didn't want that to happen. He said, if that gets publicized, then the city will come in and increase the taxes on our property. So that was the reason. My sister talked him into it the year before the last book that came out that John Brooks Walton had done, and he said okay. My sister talked him into it, but my dad died a month before the book came out. Anyway, in that book, John Brooks Walton appreciated my dad so much, and that we had been there the longest, that when he came to name that house, he called it the McCormick McFarland Mansion because we'd been there longer. I thought that was sweet of him.
And I've interviewed John Brooks Walton, and we have his interview here on our website, voicesofoklahoma.com. I got to circle back here. Lita Chapman married
her cousin,
first cousin.
Yes, is Mr. McFarland's sister's son. But
didn't that cause a few ripples in the community?
I don't think so. I think that there have been a lot of cousins in previous generations, possibly. I know that this was not a highly populated area. Plus, they lived in a different world than most people by that point in time. That house was built in 1917. I'm not sure how old Lita was at that point. I know my dad did portraits of them, of Lita and Mr. Chapman. Nice portraits, very beautiful portraits. The Alan Chapman was adopted because of that, though. So they
knew they weren't going to have children.
I think that was it.
So they adopted Alan.
Yeah. I can't speak for the family. I just...
But the point is they didn't have children.
Yeah, as far as I know, that Alan was was adopted, and I think it may have been because of that. I don't want to speak out of turn, though. I just know that when you go around town, you see the McFarland name here and there, then you see the Chapman name everywhere, but that's all one family.
And we have the story of Alan Chapman on our website because Donnie Pittman, who oversaw their foundation and still does, told the story of Alan when Don was very young and they became attached and became an aide to Alan.
Oh,
so
okay.
I've actually told you something maybe you didn't know. Huh?
Yes.
And then we should say you were married and to your wife, and her name is?
I am married to Diane Ruggles. Patricia Diane Ruggles, we married in 1981 on Valentine's Day. We both had been married previously. I wound up adopting Diane's two daughters, and we've been married 38 years and celebrate our love every year on February 22nd when I was late for a blind date that neither one of us wanted to go on. I was watching the American hockey team beat the Russians for the first time in the Winter Olympics, and I just couldn't leave the TV, and this was before they had TVs in restaurants and bars. So I just kept looking at my watch and thinking, well, I've got to go. Finally, I did go in 20 minutes late, and we fell in love and married a year later. But that was February 22nd, 1980.
And you have children?
I adopted Nicole and Lisa. Lisa is now 48 years old. Nicole is 40. We have 7 grandchildren.
Well, you are a historian yourself.
It's too much, isn't it?
No, it isn't. It's just remarkable what you have remembered. And thank you for this session.
It's impassioned on me because I love this city, but I love my mom and dad.
You do. Well, this has been fun.
Well, I've enjoyed it, too.
And you and I have talked about doing this for a long time when we finally did it. And maybe this will be the first session. We'll do some others. Okay?
Well, I hope so.